You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Do you have to be a homer?
Everything is awesome.
Are you going to tell on yourself? Tell on yourself. Do it. Tell on yourself.
What?
Not an original idea. Give the guy credit if you're going
to
do this.
Yeah, the text line. Shout out to the texter on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line from the 650. Great idea.
I actually think it's 925 unless it came in twice. 925. Willard needs the Lego song Everything is Awesome as his audio bed whenever he gets like this.
No, the 650 said the Lego movie Everything is Awesome.
Oh, amazing. So, like, yeah, a few of you had the same thought.
Yeah. So,
by the way,
if you don't win the title, then be miserable and fire people.
Right. I love that we've arrived at a spot where this is a criticism.
Your positivity.
Oh, my gosh. It's nauseating.
Yeah. I've said it before.
It is nauseating that we might actually be enjoying this. Go ahead.
And it's also nauseating that maybe we have a little perspective on what the overarching feeling might be in, I don't know, 5 days. If it's a nail biter and, you know, what if Eddie Pinero has a 64-yarder and he kicks it and he doinks it off the cross and you lose 23-21?
Yeah, what about that?
He's got to go.
Oh.
Moody would have made it. Thank you.
That's what I'm going to be doing Sunday afternoon.
Once.
Yeah, this is what I got a show afterwards.
I was going to say, yeah, maybe twice, but you do have a show.
I mean.
But I'm doing a little appearance, actually, your neck of the woods over in San Anselmo.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, for the Run TMC podcast. And to show you how big this game is, it was supposed to be a 4 o'clock event. And they're like, no, we got to move this baby to 11.
Not a babe.
So we're going to pump that thing at 11, 11:30. We'll be back home by 3:30. And my daughter, who's 3, her big phrase these days, bang, bang, Niner gang. So she is yocked in, bro.
Oh, my gosh. Can you please record that?
I will. And this morning I said, did you say gang, gang, Niner gang? And she said,
careful.
She said, no.
Careful.
No, daddy.
Full.
Bang, bang, Niner gang. What? She's already got tattoos.
Careful.
Her two favorite colors are red and blue.
Just think it through.
I've already thought it through.
Please be careful, okay?
But yeah, because that's where we live.
You were the one. No. I'll explain it next break. Anyway.
Thank you.
Granny gets it.
I get it.
Anyway, you were the originator of this in this town. You got to get down.
Thank you.
Will you?
I recorded
please
Quest.
Please record Myla saying bang, bang, Niner gang.
I will.
I need it. This show needs it.
She's into it. This morning, just 20-second story about breakfast. She's in a little bit of trouble, so no TV.
Oh.
So I'm watching the Warrior recap on YouTube just to refresh. And she, you know, sit up on your lap. Okay. So she sits on my lap. I don't yike basketball. I said, what? I don't yike it. I said, what do you like?
I hope you'd
and she said, bang, bang, Niner gang. I said, that's coming Sunday, honey.
Yeah.
Yes.
I said, hold on. I mean, Moses Moody, corner 3, am I right?
She don't like it.
She doesn't yike it.
Yeah,
basketball. Yeah. I said, what do you like?
Niner gang is what she likes.
That's a good answer. It's a good answer. Yep. Family Feud. Good answer. Yeah, fine. No, if you all want to be miserable like Philly fans, do it. Go into the game and sit down, and right as the game's going to start, just look at it with a furrowed brow and be like, you better be awesome, number 49, whatever your name is. I don't even know who you are. Like, are you truly all going to be mad at the 49ers if they lose this game because they can't stop anyone?
It depends on how it goes.
Are you honestly going to be mad at all of Robert Saleh's backups if they give up 30 points.
You're the king of context. You're the king of context. So it all depends on how it looks. If you get to a spot where the Niners have the ball and they're down four, and Shanny has no timeouts because he's had a couple of bad challenges and a sloppy timeout, and now you have no timeouts, and now your play calls aren't getting in on time or whatever, there's context to everything. So if it's a good old-fashioned, like, nip-and-tuck game and the defense, darn it, they did what they could and Brock was good and Philly was just a little bit better, yeah, that's different than, oh, my God, you know, Shanahan, yeah. You didn't know the rules again?
No, of course. And the offense is going to be held more accountable than the defense, as it should be. There's no question. I just want to say real quick before we go to the phones, though, that my thought process in saying why my optimism level went up a little bit. It's Trent Williams' practice today.
Good.
I want everyone to know that. And especially if you're the guy who I ran into in the Safeway parking lot today. I didn't get your name. But he's like, are you the dude from the radio? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, what do you think this weekend? And we started talking. And at one point, I'm like, it's not sounding great for Trent. And he's like, oh, no. I'm sorry, my friend. I was wrong. Now it's sounding much better for Trent. And that, to me, is a huge difference in this football game. Because the Eagles, where you can get them is in the run game. And I don't think the Niners' run game's got a damn shot without Trent.
Yeah, and even with Trent, they have not been great, much of the year. But for me, the whole year in the run game, and I could pull out all 17 games worth of notes, it hasn't been about the net yards per carry as much as it's been. Even when you don't run it great, you get two and you get three and you stay ahead of the stick. So run on first and it's second and seven. Run on second and it's third and four. Well, you've got action.
Yeah, stick
you've
with
got
it.
Action.
Stick
yep.
with it. And obviously they did great in the game against Chicago just a week and a half ago. Rob in Philly here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Rob. Thank you for the call.
Hey, Mark, I actually kind of agree with you, man. Like, I don't understand why it's looked at as like a soft thing or a bad thing to just be excited that we're here, like, especially after the decimation that the team went through. Like, I'm kind of already resigned to a fate, but this is going to be good experience for Pooney. That's his first playoff game. Alfred Collins, C.J. West, Upton Stout. Like, we got kind of young guys in the foundation. They need this to go out to Philly. If anything, this is going to be the perfect first playoff experience that they could possibly have.
Rob, you're spot on.
It's okay to be excited.
Yeah, and who knows? They might win. They might win.
They like better. I'm
but, you know, Rob, here's the other. Just between me and you, everybody else listening, tune out on this. Rob, it's really hard in sports radio to come with takes that actually have a calm perspective to them. It's really hard. It's not the way most of the people who call and text and YouTube and run the board think. Sorry, Grandy.
No, I'm not saying anyone can't be excited. I am excited.
I'm
excited for the game.
Oh, now there's happiness.
No.
Too late. You are not invited to my happy party. You get to go to the next room.
No.
Yep.
There are two separate happy parties.
Yeah. No.
You guys are happy about what has already happened.
Yes.
I am happy about the prospect of what could happen.
That's right, Grandy.
That's lame.
Everything is awful.
That's lame. No, that is absolutely part of what we're already talking about. That's absolutely part of it. It is an opportunity that this team has earned, which, by the way, is
awesome. It's awesome. And just a little bit of context for those whippersnappers in the other room. Since the year 2000, road underdogs of 4 points or more,
yes.
The Niners.
Yes.
They're 41-113, a winning percentage of .259.
Okay.
So one in every four road dogs of 4 points or more in 25 years win the game.
Shanahan better have answers if this doesn't go well.
Yeah.
He better have answers.
That's a stat. And that is a stat.
Let's go to, no, let's not. Okay. Hang in there.
Where were you 2 hours ago?
What's that?
Didn't we talk about this?
That's why I stopped.
And I've got, on the other side, coming up, I've got the biggest reason to give Niner fans hope in this matchup coming up on Sunday.
Well, and then also coming up next is Herm Edwards.
He can wait.
That's well,
hello.
He did that to us once, right? No,
that's
actually,
right.
He can't wait. This man hung up on Jaden Daniels for us.
I love this man.
So we cannot make him wait. But if you've never heard, I think most of you have, if you've never heard Herm Edwards do a radio interview, first of all, it's pretty freaking, awesome. But Herm put on this uniform. Herm is real tight with John Lynch. Herm was Ricky Pearsall's coach. So there are some very, very specific questions that we need to ask Herm. And we'll do that next. And those of you who want to weigh in, we see you. Hang tight, and we're going to chat with Herm, and then we're going to chat with you. So B and Frank and everybody else, 888-957-9570. That is the number, and this is Willard and Dibs. We're sponsored by Kalshi. Trade on anything.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
A late interception by the Giants will preserve a Giant victory. An upset win as the Giants lead 17-12. We're inside 30 seconds. The Eagles have no timeouts. Wait a minute. Here's a free foot. I don't believe it. The Eagles pick it up, and Herm Edwards runs it in for a touchdown. An incredible development.
He just loses a snap, doesn't get it, and who's right there? Herm Edwards.
You play to win the game.
Hello? You play to win the game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, there's a lot going on here behind the scenes right now. So, for those of you who don't know, that's called the Miracle at the Meadowlands. Right. It's actually like Herm Edwards' most famous moment. Not his press conferences.
No.
But Lucas back here literally had, he had the nerve. Mm. As they're playing this, he goes, do you know what this is? I just want to make sure you know what this is. Do I know what this is? Yes, some of us know that Herm Edwards is about the Miracle at the Meadowlands. He's not just a guy who once upon a time said you play to win the game.
Hello.
At a press conference.
Right.
But he's both of these things, and he's also on the River Islands guest line. Coach Herm Edwards here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you both. Obviously, that play kind of goes down historically. People talk about a lot, and it's interesting because I always tell people, you know, you talk about that one play, but you don't talk about the 38 interceptions I had as a player.
Hey,
That's another story for another time.
I love it, but just to be a part of a play that has a name, like, you know, the Music City Miracle and the Miracle at the Meadowlands and the catch too. That's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, what's even more unique about it? It really started the. It brought in the victory formation. Because if you can remember, there was no victory formation until that play happened. And then everybody went back to this victory deal where the quarterback, you know, gets the ball and there's two running backs behind him and there's a guy behind the running backs. I mean, it started the next week, actually. That's when the victory formation came into vogue.
Wow. Wow.
Game changer.
Yeah, unbelievable. Herm Edwards with us here on Willard and Dibs. So, to take a look at what's going on now, Herm, I know this would be an overstatement, but in your mind, how much of a miracle would it be if the 49ers were able to go on some sort of a playoff run with everything they're dealing with?
Well, first of all, Coach Shanahan's got to be in the mix of being Coach of the Year. This football team had great resilience when it started off the season. There were so many guys beat up, and obviously for them to win 12 games in the best conference in the NFL, the NFC West, with Seattle sitting there and the Rams. I mean, you got two teams with 12 wins. You got one team with 14 wins. I mean, it's not even close to what the best division is. And with that being said, for these guys to be sitting in this position says a lot about their players, their coaches, and just what they've accomplished. And look, this is the playoffs. And this is a team that has a lot of playoff experience, like the Eagles. They have a fantastic player, McCaffrey. I mean, it all runs through him at the end of the day. Guy's got, what, over 1,200 yards rushing, 10 touchdowns. He has another almost 1,000 yards catching passes. So he is the guy that makes it all go for San Francisco. The thing that San Francisco doesn't have right now, and it could come back and bite them, when they rush four guys, they don't hit the quarterback. They got 20 sacks. And this is a league where you got to hit, you got to disrupt the quarterback. Coach Sala does a great job of calling defenses, but he knows the only way you get these quarterbacks off their spot is you got to hit them. You got to threaten them in the pocket. So they got to find a way to rush the quarterback a little bit better.
And they do play bend but don't break, but then Philly gets in the red zone, and they're the best red zone offense in football. When you look at the two wide receivers for Philadelphia and a non-existent pass rush for the Niners, how much pressure does that put on D'Amato Lenore and the other corners for San Francisco?
Lots. And they've got, you know, A.J. Brown's a big physical guy, and you mentioned him. He's got 1,000 yards and receptions, 78 catches, and he's another one. You know, he doesn't get enough passes. I get all that, but that's another story. Smith, obviously, another 1,000-yard receiver with 4 touchdowns. And then you got to deal with the runner. You know, Barkley, he's a 1,000-yard guy as well. And then a lot of people lose sight of this guy, Goddard. You know, and Goddard leads them all in touchdowns. He has 11 touchdowns.
Herm Edwards is with us talking Eagles, Niners, and much more right here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Herm, I want to play something for you that you said to us last September. There was some excitement because Ricky Pearsall, who you know very well, you coached, he was having a great start to the season. But I want to play this for you. This is from September 18th last year. Take a listen to what you said.
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, he's a workaholic, and I told John and him that. I said, hey, you got to protect Ricky from Ricky. I said, because he's full speed every day in practice. You know, he just loves to compete. You got to protect him from himself because he has that mentality of how he plays and how he practices. I mean, he practices like it's a game. You know, he's that kind of kid. And you love the success of all those guys, you know, the guys that I had over at Arizona State.
Okay, and so now looking at the season that we've had and the story that Ricky has given everybody over the last 2 years, that sort of hits different because he does look so good, but dang it, he is having the hardest time staying on the field, Coach.
Yeah, that has always been an issue for Ricky. You know, he's going to be nicked up a little bit, he's going to miss some time. And with Ayuk being out, and that's a whole different story there. That thing is gone. I don't know where that thing went. But, you know, all of a sudden you lose two of your guys. And to San Francisco's credit, they just keep finding ways to win games. I mean, they just do, and they're remarkable. They really are. You know, I say this, as long as they got the runner, they got a shot. Because the runner, boy, I tell you what, he wears an S on his chest because he is a magnificent football player now. And so, yeah, and Rick, you know, you feel bad for him because he's one of those guys that he has one speed and it's full speed. And when he's on the field, he's an excellent football player. But I always say this, you know, in football and in life, you got to be available. Availability is critical.
Coach, just because you mentioned his name, I want to remind everybody that you know, you spend a lot of time with Brandon Ayuk. And I know you just said you don't know what happened there, but I kind of want to circle back to it and at least get an idea of how surprised you are that this has gone the way that it's gone with him.
Yeah, I wish it wasn't like this, but obviously it's there. And going forward, I don't know what the organization is going to do, but it's a shame. You know, it just is, because I think he's in a great spot. He's a West Coast guy, and when he's on the field, he's a good football player. There ain't no doubt about that. But I don't know where it goes from here. And there's been, you know, I'm not in the front office. Only they know, coach knows, and the powers that be know all that. I know there's a landing spot for him, and I know where it's at.
Did you talk to him at all through any of this, Herm?
No, I haven't bothered him. I don't want to bother him because, you know, they're playing football, and I don't want to get in the middle of it. I just don't, because, you know, for my love for John and who he is, and I don't want to get in the middle of it. And hopefully it works out for all the parties involved. It'll be interesting to see what happens, right? I mean, it's just hard to watch, you know, because I thought that was a good place for him in that offense, but who knows?
And you mentioned a landing spot. Are you just speaking generally that a guy that talented will find a spot? And also, as somebody who's coached, if you were on the outside looking at this, would there be some reluctance to bring him in after everything we've seen?
Yeah, depending where he goes. There might be a spot for him, though. It ain't on the West Coast, boys.
Okay, is it in the Midwest?
I'll make it real easy for you. Who was his quarterback in college?
Yeah, so you're talking about Washington.
I didn't say that. I just
no,
said
you didn't. No, that's, I like this little cat and mouse. I was going to ask it east of the Mississippi or north of the Mason-Dixon, but you made it a little bit simpler, Coach. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, I hope he stays there. I really do. I hope they can figure it out, but I don't know. I'm not in the front office.
Yeah, no doubt. We get it. Herm Edwards with us here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, there's been a lot of talk, as there always is in a matchup like this, about sort of the coaches and the quarterback. And so there's this thing about Sirianni and Hurts, and then Shanahan and Purdy. Brian Baldinger was on in Philly and said yesterday, no doubt about it, he would take Sirianni and Hurts as a combo over Shanahan and Purdy. What's your response to that?
Well, you know, here he is. He's a former Eagle. He got to say that, I guess. I'm a former Eagle, too. So I get it. I think Coach Shanahan has done a fabulous job this year. I've already said when I first came on the show, he is in the running for Coach of the Year, what he's done with this football team. And on the other side of it, in Philly, that coach don't get enough credit for what he's done. You know, Philly's hard, boy. They were beating him up earlier in the season. You know, they were throwing bricks at the poor guy. And what he's been able to do with this football team, he's got them back in the playoffs. I mean, they won a Super Bowl. I mean, look, gosh, both have done excellent jobs. But I just think Coach Shanahan is remarkable. Him and the players and the coaching staff, what they've accomplished to win 12 games after all these guys were beat up earlier this season, that's a mark of good coaching and players buying in.
And Philly's 11-6, which is nothing to sneeze at, but it seems like offensively they took a little bit of a step back. What have you seen on the tape from Philly that made their offense a little bit more muted than last year, Coach?
Well, look, it's real simple, and I don't know. I lived back east, obviously, for a long time in Philly, and back east they call these things, they call them potholes. You know, you're riding on the freeway and you hit a pothole. You know, it's a boop, boop. That's their offense. It's a pothole offense. It runs smooth for a little while, and then all of a sudden it disappears. It just flat disappears. It can disappear for a whole quarter, and you just can't figure it out. You say, what's wrong? What just happened here? And I don't know if a lot of it has to do with the sense of they have so many skilled players, how you get them all the ball. How do you distribute the football? Right? How do you get it to all these guys? I think they struggle with that sometimes, and that's why this thing goes three plays. Look, last week, second half, they didn't move the ball.
Yep.
It's like, really? Now, their defense is playing really good. Their defense is playing well. I mean, they have done a nice job here of the last month of football. So, credit to them. I mean, that has really, you know, helped them a lot because they got a big front that can rush you. And you know, they're a good football team. Now, they got a weakness at one of the corners. We know that. And Coach Shanahan probably sees it on tape. And he's going to try to probably go at it when he has to, you know. So it'll be interesting how the chess math works.
Yeah, I mean, even listening to you, it's sort of like the Niners' strength will go against the Eagles' strength, and the Eagles' weakness will go against the Niners' weakness. Like, what do you see as kind of the deciding matchup in this one?
Anytime you get in the playoffs, you know, teams that get in the playoffs earn their spot there. They're tested. And both these teams are perennial playoff teams. Look, these organizations have won Super Bowls, and obviously 49ers have won more than the Eagles. But that being said, I mean, these players understand the gravity of the game because they've been in these games. So it's not like if you're the Carolina Panthers, right? They're going into the playoffs. The last time they went there was 2015. So it's going to be entirely new to these guys. These two organizations have been in big games. They understand it. And it all comes down to this, for me, when you're playing games like this, and I can remember it as a player, don't beat yourself. Just don't do it. Just don't beat yourself. Don't get out of your comfort zone as a player. Don't try to do things you're incapable of doing when you get in the playoffs. Hopefully these guys don't do that, either side of the football, and just play the game out. Because you're playing against a tough team. Both teams are tough. You just got to, when you have an opportunity to make the play, you got to make it. Because this is the playoffs. The loser of this is like all the rest of those teams that are at home watching. You know, this is a funny league. What, seven new division winners, right? So as soon as you think, well, we'll go back next year, not so fast, guys. That's the National Football League. So I think both these opponents know what's at stake. They're very good on both sides of the ball when they play. And I've always said this, you know, when it's your turn to make a play as a player, you got to make the play.
Yeah, and that ultimately is what a lot of these games come down to. And the play could be made easier if they got Big 71 out there, the left tackle, Trent Williams. You've watched a lot of football, Herm. Where would you put him among the greats that you played against, with, and the guys you've seen subsequently?
Oh, he's right there. He's a big man with great balance and great bend. He's long. You know, he has a presence about himself. You feel very comfortable. Very comfortable when you're the quarterback. You don't worry about that backside. You go, he got it. Well, I'm good. And that's what you want. You know, you want the quarterback when he drops, because that's the side to get you on the blind side. It's like, oh, where's he coming? Especially right hand quarterback. He ain't coming. I ain't got to worry about it. That guy can block out the sun when he's going. He's a big old athlete, you know, and that's what you want. That's the prototypical. That's what a athletic tackle should look like.
Herm, as a player or a coach, can you speak to what happens to a team when they lose? I mean, everybody has injuries, but I mean like foundational pieces of what you do and what that does to a football team.
Well, you can let it affect you if you allow it, if you make excuses for it. What you have to do, and San Francisco has done this, they have slightly adjusted their plan at times, offensively and defensively. This is what we do now. We got to do this a little bit different, right? We might have to slide a little more to the left side to tackle. And if you're now, and if you're Saleh and you're going, hey, look, there are going to be certain situations where I'm going to have to bring more than four guys. And I know that. And I don't want to hang these guys out here, but they got to know I got to bring pressure this time. So there's ways you can combat it. But you don't go from one extreme to another, because if you start doing that, then the players say, coach, why are we panicking? Right? You don't want the players to think the coach is panicking, because then you got a problem.
One thing we know that they will prepare for is what's called the tush push or the brotherly shove. Yep. They do it better than anybody now. I wonder what your thoughts are as an old school football player when that never used to be a thing. What do you think of that play, Herm?
Well, you know what I tell people all the time? I said this many times on television. Don't let them get third and one. Real simple. Make it third and three or more, and you're good. Because if it's third and two, third and one, it's first down. You're already on your play sheet as a defensive coordinator. You're already going to first down. When it gets third and two or third and one, you're already you're looking at your play sheet. They're going to convert because they're going to push us. Stay in third and threes or more. You ain't got to worry about it. That's what I say.
Okay.
That's like every series is a first and seven. You know,
not easy.
That's exactly right.
Herm, who do you think is coming out of the NFC? Where are you putting your chip?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, this is one of those deals. You know, since I'm a defensive guy, look, and I said this last week, and people looked at me like I was crazy. And I don't know if this is true, but I think it could be a team out of the NFC West, okay? Now, with that being said, I said this last week, and they thought I was crazy. I said, hey, and I don't know this. I'm just saying this. I'm just fooling around. I said, you know who's going? I said, Seattle is going from the NFC, and the Denver Broncos are going to go from the AFC, and the score is going to be 3-2.
There you go.
So I guess defense does win championships, right, after all?
Take that. 3-2 score. Where's Willie Mays when you need him to hit a home run for you?
Sounds like a real exciting game, Herm.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, we don't know. That's what's great about it. We don't know. No one knows. I mean, it's a pretty, on both sides of the slate. I mean, you know, no one knows what New England is. You know, England's sitting there with 14 wins, and we can't figure them out, right? Jacksonville. Is Jacksonville for real? We know Houston can play defense. We know Denver plays defense. We know the Chargers, who they are. We know who the Eagles are. Chicago Bears, they're new to the dance. Green Bay Packers been there a lot. But the Packers have lost four in a row
Carolina Panthers in a division where three teams are 8-9, and actually somebody won the division. They're going to the playoffs. You know, and then you look at the NFC West, I think it's the strongest division in football. You got Seattle, San Francisco, and the Rams. So I'm a little scared about the Rams because that quarterback they got, oh boy, when he starts spinning it now, he's pretty good. 46 touchdown passes. And you know what? And he's running out of time. He's 37 years old. He's running out of time. And he's got a good football team. So they're pretty good too now.
Yeah, they can be dangerous. And just for an informational point, the last 3-2 game, 1926, Herm, the Chicago Cardinals beat the Milwaukee Badgers.
Exactly 100 years ago.
It was October, so it's 99 okay. And change.
I was not born then.
Yeah. But
it would be fabulous, 3-2, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Chicago with an early field goal, and they held on. Red Dunn with the field goal of an unknown length. So there you go.
How about that?
Coach, we thank you so much for coming on the show.
All right, man. My pleasure. Thank you.
There he goes. Appreciate you. Herm Edwards on Willard and Dibbs.
The Milwaukee Badgers, Mark, with a late safety to cut it to one. Only 2 3-2 games ever. And you know I love the scoregami, and you look up every score ever, and 3-2. Not likely.
Did they both play to win the game?
They played to, The Badgers fell to 2-4 that day.
Oh, that's a tough break. Yeah. Tough break. All right. 888-957-9570. Let's go to B in the city. Hi, B. What's going on?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, what's going on? Hey, so I got two things. I wanted to talk about. So I got a text message saying that there's a referee in our game, and he's from Pennsylvania.
It's
and
true.
He's an Eagles fan, and the Eagles' record is 8-1. Is that true?
And the Niners is 3-6.
I mean, what are we doing about that? How is that not a bigger deal?
I mean, I don't know. Do you really buy that the NFL is going to put out somebody who is unprofessional and is going to, especially now that this ref knows that this has become a national story this week, and he's going to start throwing flags on the Niners right there in front of everybody?
I don't know. Well, I mean, it's happened in the NBA, so I mean, I'm not right. Going to put it past the NFL.
Yeah, I get it. B, thank you very much. I don't know. Do you put anything into this? You're the referee
really.
Around here.
Yeah, his name is Alan Eck.
Alan Eck, yes.
And this will be his first postseason assignment as the white hat.
Okay.
So I'm more a little bit, I guess, aware of that fact. It's his third postseason assignment. His first, though, as the boss, as the white hat. So does that affect the nerves of being, the dude in the crew? I think that's more of a factor than the reality that he's from Philadelphia or the Pennsylvania area. And I don't know if he's an Eagles fan or not. He could have been a Steelers fan.
I think there are stories about how he grew up an Eagles fan or whatever. But, I don't know. I mean, are we really you don't point the finger at me for making excuses. We're going to talk about the ref and where he grew up before he's even made any calls.
Right.
And it's been a national story this week. So I actually think this ends up being a good thing. He knows everybody's watching.
Right.
For how this all looks based on his past record.
And it will be interesting to see because Philadelphia on the year was their offense was the 10th most penalized. The Niners, 31st. So the Niners don't commit a lot of penalties offense. So that'll be something to watch if you see a couple of ticky-tack holding calls early in the game.
All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We've been taking calls all day on how everything is awesome. 888-957-9570. In other words, the Niners are here. We all just said, I thought this was an agreement. We all said, boy, after all these injuries, if they could just make the playoffs. And so here they are. And so I've expressed that I am incredibly excited that this game is even happening. And no, that does not mean that now we don't care who wins. But you can weigh in on that, number one, 888-957-9570. But I do also, we got to do the little 1-2 punch on Brian Baldinger. He said what he said on WIP about Sirianni and Hurts. We'll play that for you. But I want to play something else for you that he said on our station over a year ago that I think kind of discredits what he said on WIP today. So we'll do that coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's Uncle Scott from Sundays. Hmm. We got a lot of touchdowns to watch together.
On 95.7 The Game.
I mean, I hope.
Yeah.
Last week there were... Hold on one sec. I got to count them up.
Field goal, San Francisco.
Oh, that's right. There were no touchdowns.
Well, yeah.
But the game wasn't on Sunday.
Nope.
So maybe
it's Uncle Scott.
Maybe that was the problem.
Might have been.
Niners need to go into the red zone on Sunday.
Yeah.
Not Saturday.
Yeah. Both teams in the red zone, they tend to score quite a bit. Philadelphia, 70% in the red area. And I love what Herm said, like, got to keep them to 3rd and 3 now. Because it's,
But you want to know why you love that? Because you do that. That's such a Dan Dibley thing to say. And it's not that it's wrong. I don't ever know. It's,
what's a Dan Dibley thing to say?
Let me give you an example. So when Herm says, like, and I'm not, I don't have a real problem with the tush push, but let's say that I did. Then this whole idea of like, I don't like what the league lets them do on 3rd and 1. Well, then don't let them get to 3rd and 1.
Right.
Hold them to 3rd and 2. It's like, right, I get that, but the concept is, if you're someone who believes that the tush push is wrong, I don't, but if you did believe that, then basically you're saying it's okay for things to be unfair. You should have to just do even better. And that is a mentality. Example, when you and I argued about the goaltending thing against the Clippers.
Yeah.
Like, your immediate tweet was that even though we all admit, because it's irrefutable, this was a
blown call.
Totally blown call.
Yep.
And yes, it automatically costs the Warriors points. And then, no, Steve doesn't, it's not a rule that he has to react that way, but then it leads to more technical fouls and free throws. And so it leads to even more points. And then the Warriors lose by 1. And your response was, shoot better.
They were pretty bad.
They were bad. So you're not wrong, but it's also like in my mind, if you just responded to everything in life that was done poorly around you and said, well, now you should just have to, you don't have to just be better than the other team. You have to be like 6 points better than the other team. It's a Dan Dibley thing to say.
In life, and that's fair, but I approach many things in my life with what my kids always made fun of me over, and that is, I want a buffer. In other words, if I have to be here at work at 12:45
I get it.
For a meeting with our boss, look, I'm not going to leave my house at noon knowing it's a 35-minute drive and a 10-minute walk, and I'm going to be pushing it. I want to have a little bit of a buffer, put the knee brace on, get the lunch together, etc. So I think about that when it comes to sports as well.
Sure.
And yeah, you lost by 1 and you gave up a 2 that you shouldn't have had to give up. And then you got some T's in there, whatnot. Ultimately, very rarely does it come down to a call. And there was that New Orleans playoff game, right? About 5 or 6 years ago, where it was a clear cut PI.
That one on Alvin Kamara. Yeah, right. This is a great example.
And the Armando Galarraga perfect game where Jim Joyce just, he absolutely kicked the call on a, not even a bang bang play at first. Like, if there was review, that's a perfect game.
100%.
But it wasn't. So there aren't many of those. And so I always kind of reserve my usage of that, of like, oh, we lost because of the refs. Well, those were a couple of bad calls in the Warrior game, sure.
Well, I mean, I think this is in any sporting event. You know what I mean? Like, did Tyler Loop lose the football game for the Baltimore Ravens? No, they were allowed to already be winning. They could have made other plays. They could have stopped the Steelers and that's all true. The other way of looking at it is, if Tyler kicks the ball through the uprights, they win. So I don't even know what the answer to this is. I just heard that and I'm like, that's a Dan Dibley thing to say.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I don't really mind the tush push. I do think that from an aesthetic standpoint, it's kind of stupid where like we're all going to get close to the line and I'm going to get the ball and I'm going to have my guys push me and then your guys are going to try to push back. It's not very aesthetically pleasing to me, but I mean, people defend it and people like it, so have at it.
They defend it because it's not breaking any rule that we've ever known to be. But I also think sometimes in sports, you have to tweak things a little bit. I'm not even saying the tush push is one of these things, but sometimes in sports, you have to make new rules when things that are within the rules, but they're not within the spirit of the game, develop. My example would be when at a certain point, baseball teams just decided, you know what, we're going to just put all of the defense over there.
Yep.
And it's like, well, yeah, you're allowed to do that, but that's not what we're doing. That's not baseball. I'm going to put one guy at third and 12 people in right field. All right, Bryce Harper, who loves to hit the ball to right field, we could do about that. It's like, okay, can we just play the game, please?
Yeah.
So then they make a rule that's like, now you got to keep half the people over there and half the people over there, and baseball's better off for it.
And they banned the zone in the NBA, right. And then they put in, okay, now you can play zone, but there's defensive three in the key. The one in the NBA that I'm waiting for them to enforce, and you're going to love this because it's your least favorite athlete on the planet, this Dylan Brooks stomp in the lane on a free throw thing.
Oh, God, I've seen this.
And he's done it a number of times.
Yeah, it's like, absurd.
Yeah, like, that's a lane violation, which we don't call, but how about you knock it off?
Which I don't understand. I mean, I don't want to get on this tangent, but I don't really understand all the things in sports that are total rules that we've just decided, but not those. Traveling in the NBA doesn't matter.
Nope.
Lane violations in the NBA don't matter.
How about being out of bounds when you inbound the ball after a basket?
There's another one.
Draymond's the king of that.
For years, you could just be sort of near second base when you caught the ball on a double play.
The neighborhood play.
And they finally got rid of that.
We allow the left tackle to be half a yard off the line of scrimmage.
And if he's wearing a Chiefs uniform, he can just start.
You can go ahead and
just start blocking.
Fullback.
Just start blocking. We'll snap the ball at some point.
Delay games only delay when a 64-year-old looks at the clock and looks at the ball and then reaches into his pocket and throws the yellow. So there's a lot of that gray area stuff, but whatever. I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. So anyway, 888-957-9570. We started off the show, and actually now, as I said, I know this is nuanced. And I'm just trying to explain my approach this weekend. So there's nothing controversial here. If it makes you mad, I don't know. Find a therapist. But like the conversation started because the phrase house money was brought up. If you do go back to my text, at no point did I say the Niners are playing with house money. I asked the three of you, how do you feel about the idea of house money this weekend? And boy, the response. Lucas got mad, like right away. Lucas got all pissed off.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Do you think the 49ers are playing with house money this weekend?
Not really. Not per se the way that people use that phrase. No. Because that sort of like implies that now there's no emotion surrounding what happens going forward. And I would not describe it that way at all. How I would describe it is where we finally arrived, which is once all of these injuries happen, that changes my expectations. I like to remove expectations as much as possible anyway. They're the only thing that leads to disappointment. But I'm very, very excited that the 49ers still achieved this, even when, by all rights, they probably shouldn't have. Like, when you lose that many players, I don't find it to be an excuse. When you lose that many important players, I don't find it to be an excuse to say that's part of the story. This is part of who they are right now. The Niners have lost Fred Warner and his backup, and possibly his running mate as well, it seems. D. Winters did not practice again today. No, 98% of Niner fans do not have the first clue about who's playing linebacker this weekend, yet I'm told a Niner fan is supposed to sit down with a beer in one hand, scream at the TV, and get mad if said linebackers we don't know don't play great, like greatness, this weekend and go into Philly and tackle Saquon Barkley. I think that's silly.
I agree with that part of it.
That's all.
you look at last week against Seattle, and you had largely the same situation. You had, you know, Bethune in there, and you had other guys who probably won't play, and you gave up 14 points, and it could have been more, missed field goals and whatnot, but the defense was able to hang in that game. And the beauty of football for me, especially in a spot where you're only a 4.5-point underdog on the road, which means in a neutral field, you're probably a 1.5 or a 2-point underdog, which they're telling you that these teams are mostly comparable. And Herm Edwards, and I love the word he used, he called the Eagles offense a pothole, where you're cruising along and all of a sudden, blah, blah, you hit a pothole. And now you got to pull over because you got a flat tire and you get the jack out and you fix that thing and you keep on humming down the road. So it's not like you're facing the greatest show on turf with a beleaguered defense. No. You're facing a team that is in many ways comparable to you. And the matchup, I think, on that side of the ball is similar to what Seattle was. Seattle, they ran it pretty well. I don't think that Philadelphia will run it as well because they don't coordinate like Seattle does. And then, you know, Seattle with JSN, he was tough to cover. But beyond that, you didn't really get pummeled too much in the pass game.
No, but they held the ball. They converted on first downs, converted on third downs into first downs. You know, they made the throws that they had to make, and the 49ers could not get off the field, and they gave up almost 40 minutes of time of possession. So I know they only gave up 13 points, but I don't think that they were very good. And this is what we do. We just, you know, we it's like, man, you can tell by listening to a lot of people how much alcohol they consume during a game.
Whoa.
No, you really can, because it's just like there's no thought at all to like what actually happens in a football game. The winner was awesome, and the coach and quarterback won, and the loser was stupid, and the coach and quarterback lost. I would look at it more like this. Like any NFL quarterback, and Herm Edwards kind of said this if you listen to this, any especially competent NFL quarterback, if his offensive line wins all the battles, he's going to complete passes, and he's going to stay on the field. And any NFL quarterback who is not granted that is going to have a really hard time. So why did Herm express some doubt about the 49ers playing well this weekend? Everybody's competent now. Everybody's good. You're in the playoffs, and you can't move the quarterback off his spot. They haven't done it for weeks. So it's like, if you're playing Cam Ward, sure, you're probably going to find a way to win that game. But no, you're playing Jalen Hurts. You're playing the Super Bowl champs, and you can't rush the quarterback. Maybe they will this weekend.
They're allowed to.
But if you look the same way that you've looked the last month and a half rushing the passer, you're putting yourself in a really rough spot. So that's all. But they've found a way to win enough of these games so that they've earned this, and it's a football game. So yes, it can go their way.
Yeah.
And so let's do this.
Absolutely. Let's do this.
That's my thought.
The big problem that I'm having with the Niner defense is not the fact that they play bend but don't break, because I think they've done a great job of that since they lost Nick. And you lost Fred, and now maybe no D and no Tatum and all the rest of it. So your defense is rookies and guys who are practice squad who you picked up, and a guy named Wallow. So that's basically your defense. But you play bend but don't break really well. The problem is the Eagles in the red zone, they score 70% of the time. So your bend but don't break normally can limit other offenses to 3. This Philadelphia team, when they get inside the 20, they get 6. Much more often than any other team. Oh. That is the thing that's scaring me the most.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.